Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is a book review. The well-known conservative pundit Ben Shapiro has a new book, The Right Side of History, How Reason and Moral Purpose Made the West Great. God and Country Radio is a Bible program. Why take the time to cover this book? For a number of reasons. This book probably will make number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and we should compare major cultural influences to what the Bible teaches. This book covers Shapiro's understanding of the whys, the hows, the wherefores of the culture war, and his ideas represent the worldview of most conservatives. But I mostly want to review this book because it comes so close to the truth, but misses the biblical assessment and the solution by a mile. Many people, even some evangelicals, may read this book and think Shapiro is right on. He does a great job of analyzing the philosophical errors that have led to America's moral corruption. He writes about the abandonment of God and reason and the need to get back to founding Western principles. What possibly could be wrong with this book? A whole lot. Because Shapiro doesn't know or present the gospel, the good news of the new covenant, the very assessment and the solution put forth by the Word of God. And so this is another reminder that many people think they know the gospel, but actually they're clueless. For them, the gospel is merely taking a theistic moral path. But that's not the gospel. And one of the best ways to explain what something is to explain what it's not. And Ben Shapiro's book is a great example of what the gospel is not. Now, if I were to critique a book by Hobbes or Hume or Nietzsche or some current book written by the political left, it would be very easy to point out the errors of atheistic moral relativism. But when it comes to books written by conservatives, the error is far more subtle because the writer is speaking about God and morality, about personal responsibility and rights coming from God. But the Pharisees of old could have written the same. And what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel about on land and sea to make one proselyte, convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much the son of hell as yourselves. Doesn't sound like Jesus was very approving of these God-centered religious moralists. And that was a shock to them as well as to the rest of the public who considered the conservative party of the Pharisees to be the epitome of moral rectitude. Or as Paul describes them in Romans chapter 2, they rely upon the law and they boast in God. They know his will and approve the things that are essential being instructed out of the law. And they're confident that they are the guides of the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of truth. Yet Paul will go on to explain that these people are not the people of God. They're damned to hell. Now, this does not mean that secular liberals are right because moral Phariseeism is wrong. But both are wrong. The truth is a third thing, something totally outside the purview of mainstream conservatism or liberalism. Now, before I get into the book review, I want to say some general words about these conservative pundits. I am really fascinated by their place in the whole eschatological landscape of the last days. We have these cultural commentators like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and Tucker Carlson, etc. And Christians do appreciate the work of these men. They are pushing back against the moral and economic corruption in our society. They have somewhat of a theistic worldview, but they certainly fail to communicate the gospel. They are acting like the law, giving the nation the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20, through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Romans 7:7, the law is holy and right and good. I would not have come to know sin except through the law. Galatians 3:24, the law is our tutor or our schoolmaster. I've often wondered why God has raised up these men. And my guess is that they play the role of the Old Testament law. Not providing the gospel, but simply showing the unsaved the irrationality of their ways. So that in the end, the ungodly pursue a course that even contradicts rational behavior. And God is using these pundits to point out the rebellion of this generation. But a question that comes up here is, why isn't the church taking the lead here? Why is Ben Shapiro doing a 3-hour-a-day podcast rebuking the culture? Why is he writing the books correcting the immorality of the culture? Where are the pastors? Where are the evangelical leaders? Aren't we supposed to be the prophets? Are we so secluded behind the walls of our churches that we fail to fulfill the Matthew 28 Great Commission to teach people to observe all things that Christ commanded? So maybe either the church leadership is negligent, or maybe church leadership is ignorant and doesn't understand these things. Well, here's a third reason to consider: the offense of the cross. Pastors are willing and knowledgeable and talented, but as Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, to the Jewish leadership, which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one. A conservative pundit who leaves out Jesus Christ and salvation will get the large audience. At least 50% of the public doesn't mind values and ethics, even when they're based on a theistic worldview, as long as you don't bring up the person and work of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Then verse 22, for indeed Jews seek for a sign and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. It's not very popular. So this is why these conservative pundits have the shows and sell the books. Don't assume it is the indifference or negligence of the Christian community. Remember 1 John 4, they're from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. So who's going to get the huge audience? In the words of Rush Limbaugh, who's going to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have? Who's going to have the $85 million a year salary and live in a plush Palm Beach estate? Well, it's not going to be the prophets of the Lord. Hebrews 11, the prophets wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, in morality cells, but not Jesus Christ and man's need for repentance and salvation. Now, let's quickly cover Ben Shapiro's book, The Right Side of History. Shapiro begins with a review of our social problems: political polarization, immorality, greed, debt, grievances, all the intersectionality issues. And he goes on to explain that the problem is not because of economic divides, not because of racial divides, not because of technology. There are all sorts of wrong, godless explanation for the cultural problems. And with the wrong explanation, there are wrong prescriptions. Shapiro understands that the problem is that modern man has thrown off the ideological foundations of Western thought. So we're reverting back to paganism, where the ancients didn't believe in God, but in idols and in man and in tribalism. The ideological foundation we're throwing off is Genesis 1:26. God created man in his own image, and everything that flows from that, that there is a God who has laws that are above us, that don't come from us, that there are human rights that government must protect. And then Shapiro goes on to explain that the ideological foundation of Western thought, the ideology that made the West advance, made the West successful, comes from two sources, Jerusalem and Athens. And throughout the book, he talks about Jerusalem and Athens to represent these two sources of truth. Jerusalem giving us divine revelation, the Bible, and Athens giving us reason, natural revelation, what God reveals to man in nature and conscience. Romans 2:14. Even before the law was given at Mount Sinai, the Gentiles instinctively discerned the moral law of God. Now, we think of Athens as being paganism and idolatry. You know, as when Paul went to Athens and confronted the idolatrous pluralism there. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, the world through its wisdom didn't come to know God. The church father Tertullian said, what does Athens have to do with Jerusalem? Tertullian was pointing out that the wisdom of man is antithetical to divine revelation, the Bible. So it would be easy to assume that Shapiro's in error here, but what Shapiro is pointing out is that the earlier Greek philosophers did deduce that there's a God and that there's a higher moral law that mankind must submit to if mankind is to be happy. And this is a far cry from modern relativists who say that there is no higher law and that law is simply a function of human utility and choice. So Shapiro is referring to the fact that our founding fathers and Western thinkers used to believe in universal absolutes. The law of nature and nature's God. Psalm 19, the heavens are declaring the glory and the nature of God, even to those who don't have the Bible. Reasoning is a part of the law of God, in a sense. And that's why in postmodernism, in cultural Marxism today, Aristotelian logic is being rejected as a social construct made up by white people to maintain power. Logic and reasoning means someone can be right and the other person wrong. It means that there is a higher law out there to judge our conclusions. And this is something that the left hates. They want raw power, raw human will. No external judge, not even reason. So Shapiro goes on to explain that these new pagans want to throw off all natural and written law, because when you see yourself as God, you are the source of your own truth. Nothing can come from without. The bulk of the book is Shapiro now going through the development of Western thought by those who believed in natural and written divine law, and then the emergence of these secular philosophers in the Enlightenment who made it their life work to find some other way to think and live without God. And it's a good read here. You need to get out a pen and write down some of the quotes from people like Voltaire and Hobbes and Hume. You may need to use some of those in your witness, because sometimes Christians have to explain the devil's lies to the unsaved. This book is a quick overview of Philosophy 101 from a theistic point of view. If you've never learned these things, it's a must. It'll help you to see what's happening in this world in a whole new way once you understand how these philosophers removed foundational truth. One of my favorite quotes, which is not in this book, is that a liberal, or a leftist as they're now called today, is one who thinks he can pull out the roots and still have the flower. Now, I have to warn you that if you're unfamiliar with this whole subject, it's going to seem kind of overwhelming. But hang in there, read it slowly. It may actually take you a couple of months to get through the 217 pages. Now, given Shapiro's subject, the way the secular Enlightenment sought to unseat God and truth, I recommend that you first read Francis Schaeffer's take on this whole subject. the book How Shall We Then Live? Schaefer, being a Christian, gives a much more biblical assessment of Western history. Shapiro sees some of the anti-God errors in the secular Enlightenment, but he neglects some of the more important biblical perspectives that Schaefer includes. Anyway, the philosophers that arose during what was called the Enlightenment is quite a group to behold. While on the one hand there is the Reformation, a small group of people returning to the authority of the Word of God, there were these so-called Enlightenment thinkers. And they put forth every possible lie from Satan against God. That the Christian religion has inhibited human development, that religion obstructs human advancement, that it was science and rationalism that made the West great, not the Protestant Reformation. And even if religion was necessary to build Western civilization, they claim it's only like scaffolding. Now that Western civilization is built, you can remove all the scaffolding of religious superstition. So you've got men like Hobbes and Spinoza and Hume who didn't believe in God and tried to find alternative reasons for morality and purpose. Even Hobbes, back in the 1600s, was saying the same thing that the leftist cultural Marxists are saying today, that morality is a human construct created to establish power relationships in the world. Voltaire, he didn't believe in God. So he stated that the purpose of man was to better the human condition. In other words, live for and glorify man. Maximize pleasure, minimize pain. Jeremy Bentham, that morality should be based on human utility. That natural rights from God are nonsense. What matters is the state or the community. And what's very interesting is that all of these philosophers emphasize the community over the individual. They all emphasize socialism and communism. Tyranny, which is the nature of secularism. Shapiro talks about the French Revolution, which was meant to free man from religion and replace the church with the temple of reason. You know, the Declaration of the Rights of Man, we're all about the rights of the state triumphing the rights of the individual. Morality was to be found in the general will of the people, not the law of God, just like in America, Oliver Wendell Holmes and law positivism. But then after World War I and World War II, a lot of the intellectuals lost faith in coming to truth by reason and by science. And so they began to believe that everything was meaninglessness. That's existentialism, what's often called postmodernism. A new skepticism where not even reason and science has the answers. So what's left? Just power and passion. Live for pleasure, sexual revolution. And so now the West has returned to paganism. No truth, no God. Shapiro shares a historic, demonstrative moment when back in 2015, he was a panel guest for the Dr. Drew Show. The panel was discussing ESPN's decision to award Caitlyn Jenner the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for his decision to announce his transgenderism. Everyone on the panel was in favor of the decision except Ben Shapiro. Shapiro explained that he didn't understand why society ought to engage in the mass delusion that Jenner was, in fact, a woman. Jenner may call himself a transgender woman. Gender may change his name. But gender is not, by any biological metric, a woman. And a society that refuses to acknowledge the biological difference between a man and a woman is engaging in knowing falsehood. The transgender man on the panel then called Shapiro an ignorant little boy and grabbed Shapiro by the back of the neck and threatened to send him home in an ambulance. So what was telling in all this is that the left, without an argument, when faced with reality, all they have left is violence. They have no rational excuse or cover for their sin, so they just have to resort to power. Might makes right. And now the left is trying to use violence and the law to shut down any speech that contradicts their fantasy, their view of the world. This chapter, chapter 8, A Return to Paganism, is one of the best chapters in the book explaining the current ideology of the left, starting with the Frankfurt School, cultural Marxism, this philosophy of oppression and victimhood. But the question Shapiro doesn't answer is why? Why were all of these philosophies and philosophers embraced? Why didn't the people love and defend the Judeo-Christian values of the founders? Was it their resentment? Was it their greed? Were the people spoiled by the prosperity brought about by Christian values and then took them for granted? Why has the no God or man is God philosophy taken over the culture? If mankind were a blank slate, if we're just up to free will, then you'd assume it'd be 50-50. But this is something Shapiro doesn't deal with, human depravity. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and doesn't come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So the question is not really why has the West reverted to paganism, but why did the West ever embrace any of the Christian worldview in the first place? And this is where we have to acknowledge the supernatural intervention of God, whereby God's Spirit converted a few people and hindered the ungodly so that the redeemed could live peaceably on earth for a period of time. But what if God so chooses in the end to let the ungodly have and practice their default position? The prophetic 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 explanation for history is not considered by Shapiro or other conservatives, that the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed. Shapiro then closes his book with an 8-page chapter entitled How to Build, or How to Fix or Reverse the Explosion of Godless, Unprincipled Paganism. And Shapiro gives the typical Jewish answer, taken from the Torah, train your children. That's the answer. The future all depends on how well we train our children in Judeo-Christian values. But the gospel answer is the necessity of a miraculous change, something only God can do. As Jesus told the Pharisee Nicodemus, you are a teacher of Israel, and you do not realize that a man must be born again? And the only way to break the cycle of sin is by a supernatural conversion brought about by the Holy Spirit. A new covenant, where the law is written upon the heart. Going back to the Old Testament law and education is not the answer. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That is the gospel. And it's a whole different framework from what is described in Shapiro's book. The gospel is not about finding a philosophical source of truth and morality and deciding to follow that source. It's about faith and repentance in the Messiah and then a supernatural change of one's nature. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Go to YouTube. Type in the YouTube search bar, God and Country Biblical Exposition, and this is program number 69. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that you have provided the simple plan of salvation. And help us to explain to those around us the difference between the law and the gospel, and fill your church for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.